Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello and welcome to Cozy Couch Conversation. Welcome to our Cozy Couch Conversation, where we dive into the warm, fuzzy world of comfort TV, whether it's laughter or a beloved sitcom or heartwarming moments of a feel-good drama. We're here to explore the shows that made us feel right at home. Today, we're counting down on top five comfort TV shows, those series that you can binge watch again and again, guaranteed to lift your spirits. So grab your favorite blanket, settle in, and let's find out which shows made the cut. Okay, so I want to also say this. Welcome to our intermission as well. And, you know, we're going to talk about our top five comfort shows in a few minutes, but we want to actually just take a minute here to say thank you for everybody that has subscribed to us, listening to us right now. If you guys can, go on ahead, go to Apple Podcasts, rate us over there, go over to Good Pods, go over to Spotify. We can actually talk to you on Spotify now and stuff like that if you leave a comment. So go on ahead, I'll respond back to you as long as I've deemed it presentable for me to comment. But, you know, we thought it would be a great idea for you guys to get to know us. We're going to peel back the curtain a little bit so that way you can actually know how we met, how this thing came together. It's a little bit of behind the scenes kind of thing. So,
right.
So let's go on ahead. Let's talk.
Okay. So first, John, when did you start Movie Lovers? Because John started Movie Lovers before I even came on to Movie Lovers. So when did, and was it always called Movie Lovers?
It was always called Movie Lovers Unite, right?
Okay.
So basically around 2015 or 2016, around that area, I was already watching like AMC Movie Talk. And that's in with John Campion and stuff like that, right? So I got my inspiration from John Campion. So I'm like, okay, so I got tired of the whole entire thing with these fake news sites for movie news and stuff. I'm like, I want to build something different. I want to build something that's like legit. So I ended up doing Movie Lovers Unite. I did memes. I did stuff like that. Did some movie news stuff. And also, too, did some reports on some news articles and stuff. Then I met up with someone that's from Australia that him and I ended up becoming friends. And then we parted ways over difference of opinion and stuff like that. But he's the one that really ended up getting the ball rolling as far as he was the one who paid for the ads and stuff.
Okay.
And so I wound up doing that after he left. I just kept on building on top of what he did. And next thing I know, I have like 22,000 followers and stuff. It's really amazing how much it took off.
Nice. I remember seeing like old videos, or not old videos, but I remember you telling me that your first studio was like in your car. You'd just be in your car and just talking about movies. How long would you shoot a review?
Okay, so basically I started the audio podcast in my car.
Okay.
And everything, and that was in 2019. Before then, I was also doing YouTube Live through Google Friends. Remember that? When we used to be able to do live streams and stuff like that with YouTube?
Yeah.
YouTube's changed up stuff to the point where you had to have 1,000 subscribers just to do lives. So then my friend Dee came up to me. He's like, have you thought about doing a podcast? I said, yes, I have, but I don't know how. So next thing you know, I download the Anchor app. And then I'm shooting recordings in my car, 100 degree weather, drinking 3 bottles of water in 100 degree weather, because that's actually the quietest place I can actually record. And then I started doing it in the evening times because it was just way too damn hot in the summer. So,
right.
But if you listen very carefully to the old recording, you can hear crickets outside So really? It feels like I'm outside with you guys and I'm just talking about movies. But I started off in my car and I did a virtual film festival. I forgot what the film festival was. In my car. That was like my little small thing I did. And then also, too, I ended up getting to interview the assistant director for Vikings. That was my first big thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would actually think it would actually happen within a year. But it happened in a couple of months. Because he ended up leaving me a voicemail.
Really?
Yeah. It was actually pretty cool.
You've never told me that.
Yeah.
You never, ever told me that. That's pretty dope because I love that show. Absolutely love that show.
I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning on a weekend.
Yeah.
He lived in Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah. So the time differences really makes or breaks you sometimes when doing it. So yeah, I never really told anyone about this. Even Tamika didn't even know about it until I told her. She goes, "What? I'm binging that show now."
So, right. Yeah. That's such an awesome show. That's really huge. So movies, when did you start falling in love with movies? I mean, did you want to be an actor or did you always know you're going to be like in this field of entertainment?
It's funny, right? So my aunt, okay. So she said, you know, he's going to be a critic one day. And I also wanted to act as well. Right. Okay. But movies has always been my heart. My very first movie I ever got to see in the theater was the Batman 1989 movie. That's hands down one of my favorite movie. Keaton is Batman for me.
Absolutely. So
that's where I fell in love with cinema, was that. And also Jaws. I remember borrowing Jaws from one of my cousins or whatever that lived down the street in Boston. Every summer in Neverfield, I would go on and get Jaws and pop it in. But yeah, that's pretty much how that happened. Like my aunt was like, "Well, he's gonna be a critic one day." I'm like, "How the hell am I gonna be a critic? I live in a small ass town, where everybody knows your name. It feels like Cheers here, and also a hint of Mayberry." And I'm like, "There's no way in hell anyone's gonna notice me in this little small town." Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, YouTube comes out, and all this other stuff. I'm like, I actually can be a voice. I can actually have a voice now.
Right.
So where I can do this. And what may feel like it's impossible is now possible. And then who would have thought that Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt would actually have their studio in New Orleans too?
Okay.
Production company over there. So it's like now it's starting to build a little bit.
Right.
Where it's like, is that tangibilization of the fact that something's real,
right?
And it's just fantastic to be able to see how I built something and how much it's grown.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you that, like, with the show, did you always know you wanted co-host other you know, personalities? Was that always a goal for Movie Lovers?
That was always a goal for me because I always felt like I was, because my very first episode I ever did, I said, imagine me talking to myself, to you, and expressing my thoughts to you, is what I said. But here's the thing, though. I always want to co-host. I just didn't know where to look, how to go about it. Because I live in a small town. There's nobody that actually feels as passionate as deep as I do about film. And even if I did, they wouldn't feel, you know, they wouldn't feel comfortable.
Right.
Or anything either, being on camera or hearing their voice or anything. So,
yeah,
like, you know what? I'm going to just keep on going. I'm just going to keep on doing this by myself until something happens.
Right.
And then from 2000, I was also going through a bad breakup with my ex at that time, too. Okay. We were engaged and we broke up. And matter of fact, you can hear my voice crack in one of the reviews I did. Okay. Because after we broke up, we went to see The Lion King, the live action Lion King, and I'm actually doing a review on The Lion King.
Okay.
And you can hear my voice crack, and then you can also hear my voice crack again when I'm doing that, you know, that female wrestling show that was on Netflix called Glow?
I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I was actually doing a review on that, and there was something that reminded me of that situation in Glow that happened to me, and it was very reminiscent to what I was going through. But yeah, I've been through this long journey. from 2019. And then after that, in 2020, I started getting a little bit more of a build because, then I met you in 2020.
Right, right.
And
that's right. I'll never forget that. I'm like, who is this? Because I was on Instagram and I'm building my thing, doing a lot of brand work and stuff like that. And see, 2020, that's right. I had started acting in 2017. So I had been doing some things by that time. And I remember opening up my inbox. You were so nice. I'd love to interview you on my show. And we exchanged, emails or texts, whatnot. And I remember being really nervous, like you said, people wouldn't normally be. And I remember you were like, let's do a top 10. I was like telling you, I love comedy films. I love horror films. And I think the first one was a comedy top 10 that we did.
Well,
it was an interview. It was an interview.
We did a horror movie. Yeah, we actually.
Yeah, it was an interview. And then after that, you invited me back. But the first one was an interview that I did. And I remember you were on Anchor and it was audio. And I remember being really nervous. I think I had a glass of wine and you could tell I was super nervous. And then by the end, I start loosening up and okay. And then you hit me up and was like, hey, you should come on and we should do a review.
Right.
Or top 10.
Yeah, we did top 10 horror movies. As a matter of fact, that actually showed up in my memories a couple of days ago.
Because remember, at that time, that's when we were doing thumbnails. We were just writing them in. And something popped up in my memories the other day. And I was like, oh my gosh, what a throwback.
Right.
How we used to advertise.
Doing with thumbnails or whatever. Plus, I'm also doing this. It's an audio-only podcast, but yet I'm still putting the stupid ton that I'm doing it. It's like, no one's going to watch this live because it's audio recording. So therefore, they can't watch it live at that time.
But right.
So that was a stupid PR move by me because I'm thinking, who's going to watch? There's no way that I can do that because I have to do that the next day.
Right.
To actually put it out there. But also, too, okay. I didn't know anything about editing at that time.
Okay. Okay.
I was just putting stuff out there.
I was like, wow, this looks great. I mean, look at this. Look at that. Because you would do like real cool writing and, little promos. And I thought it was just the coolest shit because I've never known podcasting or anything like that. So everything you did to me was just like so cool. And that looks good because it kept getting better and better and better and better and better, And I didn't know you didn't know how to edit because you took care of everything.
Yeah, I didn't know how to do any kind of audio editing.
Okay.
I learned that on my own without any tutorials or anything.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do. So it wasn't until my friend Will came on the show to do maybe a year or two ago or whatever, but we did the Obi-Wan thing and they're like, well, we can't hear Will. Thank good. I'm like, okay, this is how I know that I need to stop.
Okay.
Just putting stuff out there because people could, I said, no wonder why that people think that this show sucks because I'm not editing the way I need to. So I went on ahead, started taking it a lot more serious and actually, not saying that I wasn't taking it serious before, but it's just but that still, paying attention to detail.
Right. Right.
What people are saying. So I'm like, okay, at that point, I'm like, yeah, I got to listen to what some people are saying.
Right.
They're to help me.
Do you remember when we went through our camera work and you got your first upgraded camera? I remember when you got your first microphone. I remember when you got that and we're like doing a little good and I got my, because I remember I was just using my phone. I would use a backdrop that I would have from shooting monologues. And I mean, looking at some of that stuff, I remember I would be on the couch and just have my phone propped up. And
I remember that. I remember that. It was like a little small green screen or something, like a little blue. Like you would actually get a Walmart.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a little blue black drop that I had did my monologues and would do that and have that. And looking back right now, when I see that pop up in memories, I just start laughing because I'm like, you know what I mean? We were such the early stages of us growing. And do you remember when we first got our what do you call it? Our
logo
emoji, like, emoji. You say it.
Yeah, the little emoji thing that we have now.
Yes.
I remember the logos that we went through. I look like somebody from, let's see, probably someone from overseas. That's the best way to put it. I look like someone from not Ukraine, but from Afghanistan.
Yes, yes. We looked wild. And I remember I had these jagged edges on my face. It was just horrible.
And no matter what they did, it didn't even get
my skin tone right. Like, it was like yellow skin. And we're like, no. Until those guys finally did our pictures, and it was UI and Alex. And I remember, even in the first one, Alex was always looked like Alex.
Yeah.
All his was so perfect.
And I remember, like, every single one time that they said, look, we'll try, I'll try again. At every attempt, it got worse.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Like, look, I appreciate you wanting to try. Yeah. I gave you 3 times. Sorry, dude.
Yeah. We're done. We're done. And then that second artist that came through was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is freaking it. This is nice. And I remember we got that. We were so proud of that. And yeah, that was just really cool. That a real step. That's when we were like, really, like, the show was a big deal to us. And we wanted to really make it professional and you know, we wanted to go somewhere with it.
Right. And I feel like we are right where we want to be. Like,
yes, absolutely.
I want to be in film festivals. I want to interview people, but how the hell do I do this?
Right.
And so I ended up joining up Olivelle filming in Mississippi, Facebook group,
and
and filming in Arkansas. Yeah, I went to Arkansas.
Did you really?
And that's how I met Jason and all the other was through the Arkansas group.
Okay.
And that's how I ended up getting to know everybody.
Okay.
Then I got an email when I was sometimes things just happen when I'm eating lunch at work.
Yeah.
Like, I'm eating a roast beef sandwich and then I get an email. And it's in my junk feed. And it's a Netflix publicist.
Right.
Wanting me to do something for Martin Luther King's birthday for when he moves the pad out. I'm like, wait, what? And this is like not even a year.
Right.
I'm like, I would actually think that I would. My goal was like 1,000 subscribers. Netflix might pay attention to me then.
Yeah.
And that happens.
Right.
I'm like, and then the short film festival happened because of the Netflix publicist.
Yep.
As well. Because she's like, do you like short films? So, yeah. Next thing I know, I'm hooked up with Holly Schwartz Film Festival.
Right. Yeah. And it just kept getting better and better and better and better. And, you know, it's like we just start taking off. And then when you started with short, that just really changed our whole situation. Because I remember you were trying to figure out shorts, and when YouTube really liked shorts and that was their thing. And I remember you playing around with it and start developing really nice shorts. And I remember our first introduction to shorts was we were doing Moon Knight. And remember figured out a way that we can, you know, cut their scenes into the shorts and do that. And then we got that first, no. Oh, no, you can't. So then you took that and I was like, all right, I'll do my own. And you figure that out. So that really just really blew the channel up.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. Yeah, doing shorts is hands down probably one of my favorite things. And plus, there's a high from it in a sense where...
Right.
And? You know, you see the views coming in, you see the likes and stuff, and it's like, can I do this again?
Right.
So make another one to see if you can do it again and make sure it's not a fluke.
Right, absolutely. And it's not. I mean, John has the best shorts. I mean, you're gonna have to pay for him for those shorts here soon.
But you know what I remember though, before we get into our discussion?
Well, absolutely.
But you know what I remember though, is I remember saying, hey, how do you feel about being I think that'll be interesting for you to have your own podcast. Like, don't get me wrong, I love having
Right.
I love having you on here, but I think you could do so much more.
Yeah.
I know that you were nervous as hell, like more nervous than.
Yes, I was so nervous. And I remember avoiding that subject. I remember saying, oh, yeah, we should do that. It took me a few more months. And then finally, you're like, Ross, like, I really think you should do this. Like you'd be really good at this. And guys, me not doing podcasting and starting with John, I felt comfortable being on the show with you. I felt at home, but doing my own thing, could I do what John does? Could I host? And I didn't think I'd be able to do that, because watching you do it, it's not easy to sit and host a show, lead the conversation, run the show. It's just not easy. And so I didn't think I could do what you were doing. And I don't know what I would do if you did not have, if you would not have kept bringing it up. And it wasn't like all, he would just once in the blue moon, he'd be like, hey, Ross, you know, finally I'm like, okay, so I'm like, all right, let me do it right. Let me get a laptop. Let me get cameras. And I remember you helping me out. This is the camera you're going to get. The pop filter, the everything right. You had. I remember I got everything that John had and we set it up. I remember, and remember also, I wasn't like computer savvy. Like John had to teach me. I remember we tried to do the hookup for the microphone He had to send me steel shots of this is how mine is done. And I remember when I finally got it done, I was so proud of myself as we got through that. But yeah, having my own show, and that first show I shot by myself was, I think it was the Marilyn Monroe or the Hellraiser. One of those
was the Hellraiser one.
Was it the Hellraiser?
The other one that we did was Father Stew. We did Father Stew together.
Yes, that's right. Father Stew, that's right. That's right.
And you went from Father Stew over to Hellraiser, from Hellraiser to Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
And then it went on from there.
Yeah, and then I had the series that I reviewed, which was the one on HBO, which was really good at the time. Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
But I remember he was like, I was like, okay, John, you can sit with me on this show, first show. Sit with me on the second show. Father Stu was like the last one. He's like, Ross, okay, you got to do the next show by yourself. I can't sit with you on it. I would love to, but you got
to
do this by yourself. And I remember
off sometimes. Like,
absolutely. I remember I sped through that review. I remember getting through that review so fast.
I think everybody speeds through their first one. You know,
I was trying to get it done. I remember Joanne's like, your review is good, but you need to slow it down. You're speeding through the review. I can tell that you're nervous and I start getting comfortable and learning it. But oh my gosh, I was so afraid. So frightened to be by myself.
I know. I still remember that. I was like, Ross,
things.
I was like, look, I'm taking the training wheels off of you. I'm not going to be with you.
Right.
You need to grow on your own because I think I can do this.
Right. And sure did.
And now look at you. You're doing great on your own. You have a spinoff thing with me, but then you also have your own show.
Right.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Rossi's Clubhouse, guys, check it out. Go and subscribe. Let's help grow that channel.
I don't laugh though, okay? It's not like laughing like it's an absurd idea that you're having a studio. But once I seen, wait, you have a studio?
Oh, that's right. That's
like
that's
that was mind blowing for me. That was just mind blowing. I'm like, wait, you got a studio? Damn. Okay. So you went from I don't know if I should do this to like,
right?
You know what? I'm going to the yellow pages now, and I'm going to go look up for a studio. Like,
I'll tell you guys though, the thing with the studio was this: if not for Movie Lovers Unite, the person that gave me the studio would never have even known. He started watching the show, saw me on the show. We live in the same town. We met up at a networking event. Thank you, Zach Hubbard. And he used to do his own show, but he was like, I don't want to do it anymore. I saw you on Movie Lovers. What would it for me to take you from Movie Lovers and come do this? And I was like, well, first of all, never leaving Movie Lovers. That's my thing. I'm with John, but we can do our own project. So aside from Movie Lovers, I can go and we can do the show. And that's when I came up with Rossi's Clubhouse, and I would go to a studio once a week. He's a cameraman, so he really wanted to work on film sets. And he's great at working a camera. He's brilliant. So he just got more business, and we decided to part ways almost a year ago. But thank you, Zach Hubbard, because, you know, I appreciate him. Like, free studio, no pay, took care of everything. Camera and did interviews. And so and thank you to Yums Awkward for giving me direction and knowing that, showing me that I'd be best served by interviewing locals here in Sacramento. So
I think it's great. It's very inspiring for the community. And also too, you know, you can do a mixed bag of different things like restaurants and stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
Like,
right.
There's just so much that you can do. And I like the variety. It's like it's a variety show in its own self.
Exactly. A little bit of all types of talents. I enjoyed it, but you know, thank you to John. And then now John directs it, and he stopped going to the studio. John's like, no problem, we'll get you up and going. And John took Rossi's Clubhouse, he put it online for me, he made sure it was on all major podcasting platforms, and he directs, he produces, he does my shorts, like absolute right hand. So I'm so happy that now this show is ours, and I only trust him at this point. So that's where we're at. Yeah.
Right. So,
and it'll always be like that.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
It will.
The funny thing is, we haven't met each other in person, but right. But we have this great chemistry and this great connection together as friends.
Right.
And this is just to show you, just because you live in separate neighborhoods does not mean that you don't have nothing in common with someone. It doesn't
Absolutely.
Mean that there's something there. If you know it's there, and you don't let anything hold you back from doing your dreams.
Absolutely.
That's what I have to say.
You never know who's out in the world that will come into your life and you become best friends. Like John is my brother and he's my best friend. I love his family. He loves my family. And we've never met. We talk on the phone. We are great business partners. We're great friends. And it's rare that you can meet someone and trust someone like this guy. My whole life he has in his hands, vice versa. Like I don't trust anyone else. And I'm just happy that we clicked.
Right, exactly. One thing I want to say before we start. I know I keep on saying one more thing, but you know me, I don't never shut up. But but one thing I do say is, like, if one of us is feeling down or if there's a situation that comes awry, we take it head on, we talk about it, and then we move on from it. But one thing I like about it is the fact that we can come to one another and say, hey, look, I'm having an issue with this and this and this. Yeah. And we allow ourselves to just bend to each other, and then we just talk about it, and then that's it. And we just
absolutely, absolutely,
right. So I just want to say thank you for your friendship. I value your friendship. I appreciate what you're doing, and I also appreciate your family as well too.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. I feel the same way. John has been with me through my lows, and Lord knows I have had some lows, and this guy has been there for me, vice versa. We can talk to each other. And if it gets real bad, there's a phone call. Like, I need to call you and talk to you. So I love that about John. I've never had a friendship other than my husband, you know, and of course my sister, but someone that I've never met and have that bond to where we get each other. And we've kind of been through the same thing. We kind of have the story. So we really understand each other. We're very humble people. So
we are.
Yeah, very humble. We thank you guys for following us and liking what we do, because we enjoy bringing you content.
We really do.
We really love what we do.
Yes, we do. And now, here we go. We're going to do our top five comfort movies. No, comfort TV shows. Sorry. We are called Movie Lover Tonight. But one last thing. The idea of TV lovers came in when I had another admin. I had another admin. I'm still friends with her. I'm still friends with Sarah.
Okay.
It's just that she didn't feel like that she wanted to do this anymore. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's cool. And she's like, well, when she was an admin, she goes, have you ever thought about combining movies and TV shows? I'm like, I'm more of a movie person. At this time, I'm actually thinking of, you know, back in those days, you would never see Al Pacino on a small screen. Or
absolutely.
Right? Especially in the early 2000s.
Absolutely.
So my initial thought was, I'm a movie person. I'm not a TV person. I don't watch TV shows. I don't do that.
Right.
And then I'm like, you know what? Since you watch TV shows, you can take care of the TV aspect of it. I'll take care of the movies aspect of it. And that's how we did it. Her admin name was Coffee, because she liked John Coffee So that's how Sarah and I did it. And I also had other admins too. And I ended up, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened with that, but you know, but here's the thing though. Then I started watching TV shows like Stranger Things, because I had a fan that said, hey, look, you should try out Stranger Things. And this is like when the show was like really underground. Next thing you know it, I started watching it. I'm like, yep, this is me. And next thing you know, I started reviewing TV shows.
Nice.
So that's how I went from just being like the movie guy to being the TV guy. So, but anyway.
My nephew did the same thing. He was like, you know, Aunt Rossi, you should watch this. There's this new series called Stranger Things. And I remember he came over and spent the weekend with us and did out Stranger Things. Love you, Chase. Love you so much, Pac. But yeah, so I wanted to shout out to him because if not for him, I would never have given or even watched Stranger Things because I'm not knowing that, you know, this is actually good and it was really good. So shout out to my nephew. I love you, Pac.
So I'm going to let the floor be yours for your number five.
Okay. So my TV shows, comfort shows, will be some that maybe have shooting and killing or, you know, and it can go to funny, okay? But these are things that I found comfort in and couldn't wait to finish it up. So my five comfort TV show is all time would be Twilight Zone.
Nice.
I love Twilight Zone. I find it to be just fascinating twist, the thriller, and the fact of what really gets me about it is when they do something and they're talking about the future or whatnot. I love how at that time, what the future looked like to them, like, you know, flying cars or robots and how robots, you know, look to them at that time. But great story, great show. And every New Year's, there's always a 24 hours of Twilight Zone. And all your favorite ones. So I would have to say that is my all-time number five comfort TV shows.
There's nothing wrong with a little bit of sci-fi and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Love sci-fi.
And, you know, I have like an honorable mention, though, too, is like Quantum Leap was probably going to be my comfort one show.
Yes.
Like, I have some older TV shows that I'm like, I don't think anybody's going to gravitate towards this because it's how old I am. Because I'm going to show my age. But yeah, I actually had a couple of older shows on here. I had Are You Afraid of the Dark? I had stuff like that that was fighting.
Oh, yes, right.
Like the 90s. And then I also had Tales from the Crypt. That was also another one that
Yes.
So that's just a couple of little things that you guys know about me. Yes, I love Tales from the Crypt. Yes, I love Are You Afraid of the Dark? And
yes.
Yeah. But I decided to go with, you know, I couldn't do this. Okay. I'm from Boston.
Of course.
So, everybody has to know each other's names, right?
You know you gotta know each other's name at the local pub.
Right, exactly. You have to have some cheers. You gotta have some cheers in your life. If you're from Boston, then you have to go down the parking and turn the car around and pull a Yui before the stadium comes. If you don't know talking about, that's actually... A parky is actually called a liquor store in Boston.
Okay.
A Yui is pulling a U-turn. A stadium is a state trooper. So there you go. And if you want to go to the Dunkin', that's a Dunkin' Donuts.
Thank you, Dunky.
I'm going to have you talking like Boston in no time.
But I sure will.
But no, Cheers is hands down one of my favorite shows. I get this. I remember binging this like in 2015 or 16.
Because
I had seen it from episode one. It was like 9 o'clock at night when I can sleep.
Yeah.
And reruns would come on. So I started off with season one and worked my way through all the seasons.
Really nice. I love Cheers. We did the same thing. Few years back in 2015, 16, we decided to binge it out. And because I never saw the beginning episode. My mom would watch it. And when it was on air, so it'd be like 7 o'clock or so or 8 o'clock and we'd go in there and watch some of it. So I never got to see all of it. I started really watching it when Kirstie Alley, I love Diane, but when Kirstie Alley came to it, she was so funny. Those had to be one of the funniest years besides Diane, but Kirstie Alley. And I have to tell you really quick, my favorite episode of Cheers is when they had the Thanksgiving episode where they were at Norm's house or whatever. Carla was there. It was one of the funniest episodes. So yeah, shout out to Cheers. That was a good one, John.
Thank you. Because I actually seen Cheers. I actually been to Cheers as a kid because I was actually
really
because during the summertime I used to go over there for like 3 months.
Okay.
And I went to Cheers. I actually got a chance to actually go there as a kid.
That's awesome. Like that.
Thank you. And then, you know, and then Kirstie Alley just adding that fuel to that fire with Ted Danson's character.
Yes.
That back and forth, which is what he needed. I felt like I feel like Diana was like way too whiny of a character.
Right. But she was hilarious at the same point. You know what I mean? Yes.
At the same time, though, at the end of the day, Christy Alley gave Ted Danz as a character more of a challenge.
Absolutely.
He
always
kept him on his toes. And she was actually the one woman that he could never kneel. When he actually kneeled Diane.
Right. Absolutely.
That was like something that I really love. Sam Malone. Sam Malone is one of my favorite characters on Cheers. Woody Harrelson on there. You also had Coach.
Oh, man. Frasier, when Frasier started appearing, him and Lilith. Love there. Back and forth. They can stand Lilith. And also, rest in peace to Coach. Coach was great. Loved Coach. And Carla, I mean, the whole show was good. And you have to love, every time Norm walks in a bar, it's Norm and it's always some funny line. He always has some funny line. And so you wait for those little nuggets of what's he gonna say today when he walks into the bar. But Cheers was classic. Love it. And I'm so happy they've never remade it.
Me too. You cannot. That's magic.
No. Yeah.
And another thing too is Cheers is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No longer around in Boston either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cheers is pretty much done. Like, I want to say that place is not, it's turned into something else now.
Okay. Okay.
So if they were going to do it, they would probably have to do something totally different and rename it like Shenanigans Restaurant or something. But there was actually another show that was like Cheers.
Yes.
I don't remember the name of it, but it had this. You know what I'm talking about. It had this, what's the thing I'm thinking of? Switzerland kind of outfits on.
Yes, like yes.
It felt like really out of place. And I'm like,
yes. Gosh.
Just Cheers 2.0 that does not work.
That's funny that you absolutely brought that up. And one more last thing about Cheers and I'll stop. The opening song.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not sing that whole song when it came on? And it was the most sweetest song. I mean, we, you know, I was a kid, you know, I couldn't go to a bar, but I knew that when I got older, I wanted to go and have a Cheers where everyone knew their name and go to a place like that. And my place ended up being Shakey's Pizza in Auburn, Washington. Kind of like Cheers.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of different characters. It was awesome finding that. Okay. So my number four, and this is a recent one, and I fell in love with this because I love Jason Bateman. And it's not Arrested Development, although I thought that was great, but Ozarks.
Oh, I love
Ozarks. I loved Ozarks. I mean, I'm telling you, I cannot wait for each and every season to come out so I can watch Ozarks. I mean, to see Jason Bateman play a character like that when you always see him playing, he's kind of typecast and he plays those, you know, the characters that he played in Arrested Development, or he had a show when he was a kid. I remember seeing him when he was a teenager, and it was him, a little brother, and his mom. And I forget the name of the show, but loved him then because I remember he was being compared to Michael J. Fox a lot when he came out. He kind of has that intelligent acting style.
Well, remember, he had Teen Wolf 2 that bombed at the box office.
He did have Team. Yeah, that's right, because that's very true. They were trying to replace him, well, Michael Fox with him. And yes, it did bomb. It absolutely did bomb. And I watched it. It bombed. I liked it a little bit, though. I'm not going to lie. I did like it because I loved the Teen Wolf movie. So,
like,
same here. I watched it. I watched it more than once, to be honest with you. I love Jason Bateman, and seeing him in the Ozarks was just fascinating. It was so good. I mean, his talent, he's just amazing. He's absolutely amazing. And the show was, what a great premise. This all-American family from Chicago moves to the Ozarks. Dad gets involved in something that he didn't know he was being involved in. And now he's in this totally new, white-collar workers in this new world. and to see the family evolve over four seasons was just great writing, great acting. The kids were amazing. I love the Ozarks, and I hated that season four was the last episode, and that was it. Basically, the last season, that was it.
Right. I remember not liking the ending to Ozark as much.
Yeah, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But at the same time, though, I was like, you know what? I don't mind it as much. I was like, I still remember messaging one of my friends. They sopranoed me. That's
okay.
Because of how the screen turns to black at the end of the season finale at the very end of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
I was like, they sopranoed me. But at the same time, though, I'm like, okay, either way it goes, you've seen Jason Bateman's character lie his way through everything.
Oh my gosh.
After a while, that's just going to come back at you to the point where
absolutely.
You can't even lie anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, and you were the tension in the show, it was thick. You can feel it. I mean, in your heart, you're hoping that they get out of this situation. You forget that you're watching a show at that point. I mean, it's just something that I was really into, and I just appreciated the Ozarks. It was just great for Netflix at the time. So definitely really good. And all the characters, it was great, guys.
Good.
It was great.
Even when they add new characters into the show, too. Like,
yes.
I was on Anthony's show, or I think so, or he was on mine. We were doing a review for one of the seasons whenever when Wendy's brother first gets introduced.
Okay, yeah.
And how much we really like that character.
Yes.
And we see the issues that he has. But yes. I like how you have this, like you said, you have a family that because of the situation that Jason Bateman's in, they're stuck in the situation.
Right.
They don't want to go to the Ozark. Wendy does not want to go there.
Nope.
But then you see her start transitioning into being darker than
the husband. Absolutely.
And then you see the kids also picking up on things that Gaiman is doing. You have their son who's money laundering stuff.
The little boy was a genius. And then when you just to watch him grow, like what just all of them, the way that they were able to play off of each other. And you really believe this was a family so good at convincing you that those were their kids and this is what was going on. And so seeing them from the first and to the last season, and just to, like you said, the little boy just had his own business doing his own thing. Like it great writing. It was just really good writing. Yeah,
it really was.
Love that. Yeah.
And okay, I'm going to go into one little other I love about that show. Like, okay, remember the psychiatrist episode where you had Wendy and him both going to the same psychiatrist?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
And then the psychiatrist. And
Right.
And then the psychiatrist bought that sports car.
Right. Exactly. No, and that was it. And the thing about the show was just
it was great.
Some of the things that happened that were horrible were funny. It was just funny. It was really funny. The family that owned the farm, you know, the husband having a heart attack out in the woods, and you're not expecting for that character to die, but then seeing his wife rise up and become who she is, and as evil as she is, and mean as she is. But remember when she got custody of that little baby?
Oh yeah.
And that was her everything. But then, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen it, so I don't want to, tell you the ending. We'll stop because it's still kind of fresh and people can still find it, haven't seen it. But if you have not seen the Ozarks, it's on Netflix, still streaming. Go and watch it. You will love it.
Okay. So I've got number four, Stranger Things.
Okay. All right.
Because here's the thing, my wife and I binged the whole thing because she didn't think she was going to like this show, right?
And
she's like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. I'm not into horror movies or anything like that. I don't like horror-related stuff. I said, trust me, you're going to like it. After the fourth episode of season one, she was hooked.
Yeah, I bet. But
the way I pitched it to people, I said, look, if you like Stephen King, if you like Steven Spielberg, if you like E.T., if you like 80s, something that's stuck in the 80s, this is going to be for you. This is going to be your jam. This is going to be your vibe.
Yes.
For you. Then they hit us with nostalgia, but it's not for the sake of having nostalgia in there or anything. It's there to amplify the plot. It's there to drive the characters. and stuff like that. The horror elements, the sci-fi elements, getting introduced to Eleven, Mike, the rest of the losers. I mean,
yep. You know,
it was a fantastic show. It's a fantastic show, and I can't wait for it to come out for the very last season. But, you know, I hands down to the writers of Netflix for this. I've read Brothers, they know what they're doing when it comes down to their writing.
Absolutely. And another one where you're watching characters evolve as the kids are getting old, have gotten older on the show. But definitely, yeah, knew that was going to be special when it came out. And I'm so happy that my nephew had me tune in and at least get through that first season, which was really good. So, yeah, that had to be on the list. I get that. For my third show, it's going to be Family Ties. I'm taking it back. I used to love Family Ties. I absolutely enjoyed it. Never missed a night that it came out. I mean, the Keatons, you know? I mean, you had a very young Michael J. Fox, who you absolutely just loved. This young Republican who was funny as all hell, just into the stock market, into everything business. And he's like 16 years old. But I loved his character. He was great. And he was a really good actor. Like, I remember watching that, and I was really young watching that, and by that point, I knew I wanted to be an actress, but watching him, it's like I wanted to be like him. I wanted to do what he was doing. He was so good, and how could he be natural at it? This was another family that you felt like this family was a real family, you know, and you had Mallory, who you end up finding out years later that that's Jason Bateman's sister, but the mom and dad is the parents that, you know, if you didn't have parents like that as a kid, you dreamt of having parents like that. They were just really good people, but the show was great. Every episode was so good. Loved the beginning and just enjoyed, you know, and I loved, you know, they tackled drugs, they tackled pregnancy, they tackled sex, they tackled everything on that show. And I really enjoyed Family Ties. It's my childhood.
You know what, though? I love that show, too. But Michael J. Fox also, too. I remember him working on Family Ties and then him having to go and film Back to the Future back to back.
Right. And right. And also when he did Secret to My Success years later, which
I love that movie.
I thank you. I did, too. At that point, I was really into Michael J. Fox because I loved Back to the Future. I pretty much loved all the films that he did because he got roles at that time. He was that guy. And so seeing him in Secret to My Success, which to me brought him back to Alex P. Keaton a little bit, you know, that intelligence, you know, him playing a role like that. But it was really good. And he's a really good comic actor. His timing is impeccable. So love Secret to My Success. That was a really good movie too.
Yes. And I do enjoy that bit on that TV series though too. As well,
right,
and stuff like that too. Like awesome. I really like his quick. I love his quickness. I love the chemistry between the family members,
right?
Because sometimes when you cast certain people to play family members, sometimes it just doesn't work. The dynamic doesn't work, and the chemistry is not there. But he has such a pizzazz about him, where you know he's quick on his feet. He's able to deliver his lines. He's got he's got that charisma between all the family and stuff like that too. You can feel the it works. Family Ties.
And you love the fact that, the fact that the sister Mallory, you know, was the dumb blonde. You know what I mean? Like she was not the smartest, you know, Alex was the smartest. He adored his little sister, Tina. Her real name is Tina Yothers. I can't think of her name on the show. But anyways, he adores his little sister and he wants her to be like him. But then you have the middle sister, Mallory, who's, you know, the ditzy blonde, but she wasn't blonde, but she played that part very, very well. So shout out to the Keatons.
Yes. So, okay. My wife is going to look at me like I'm crazy for putting this on here because it's a reality show and how can I find comfort in something like this? Oh. I have Kitchen Nightmares as a comfort show.
Yes. I was going to put something like that down, but I wasn't sure. Happy that you did though.
Yeah, like I would actually watch reruns of Kitchen Nightmares, and even though I've seen it, I'm like, okay, I can go to sleep with this on and stuff like that. This is one of those shows that you can just go ahead and listen to Gordon Ramsay bitch at somebody,
absolutely,
and just go to sleep. Brandon goes, how are you watching this with him yelling at people? I said, I'm used to it. but I don't know. There's just something about the fact that they always think that they're the top best chefs.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And they have the best restaurant. And they microwave their food. The stuff is dirty. We have rats.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
I remember this one dude that had pictures on his menu. Like, all you could see was nothing but
pictures. Oh, my God. Yes.
And Gordon's like, if your food is that good, you don't eat pictures on your menu.
Right.
And that's, like, one of the golden rules how I have. Like, we have this Mexican restaurant.
I remember you talking about that episode. That was so funny.
Yeah. But yes. Get this, though. We actually have a restaurant near us, right?
Yeah.
And we have two Mexican restaurants. One is one that my wife and I love. The other restaurant we got sick from. But the one that we got sick from, get this, they have pictures in their menu.
On their menu.
Yep.
Wow.
I said, I said, you know what? This should have been the first hint of us that we should have got the hell out of there.
When you saw all the pictures on them.
Like, but that was my favorite thing of Kitchen Nightmares, was like the fact that, you know, the chef had all the pictures and he goes, well, and then was like, why does this taste mushy? Oh, that's because it's microwaved. What?
Right. I remember he would go off about the microwave or when you find, like, whose kitchen was going to be dirty on the next episode? I mean, remember, those episodes would be left for the season finale. And the season finale was always the worst kitchen that he's ever had throughout the whole season of that show. And you're disgusted. I remember just be like holding my mouth, or I can't believe it. Or I'm like, even when they clean up, I would never go to that restaurant.
No.
Those people serve me.
But another thing, though, too, that I have to laugh my ass off on, if you see Gordon Ramsay coming into your restaurant,
yes,
just close your restaurant for the day.
Right. Right. Like, seriously.
Seriously. If he was there to say your food is good, he's going to tell you that your food sucks.
No, absolutely. Every time. And I love how some of the chefs would be, their ego would get in the way, you know. And I remember the show, the ones where the people, when he'd leave, the people changed the menu back to what it was, because his chef was just not, he wasn't living in reality. And I remember, you know, when they do the update, restaurant got closed down, or this restaurant did better because whatever. But I still watch Kitchen Nightmares on Filmrise uncensored, and it's still good. Seen them so many times. It's always like the first time.
Well, there's also one other episode that I want to touch base on real quick, and then we'll move on. But there's also this other one where I remember where they were selling Maine lobsters.
Yes.
And it was called a Black Pearl.
Yes. Yes.
And how I know that is because of the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, because that was also called the Curse of the Black Pearl. So that just stuck with me. But I remember that. Why in bloody hell would you get this kind of fucking lobster? Are you fucking stupid?
Right.
And he goes, why? Why would you do that? You're selling Maine lobster, but they're Canadian.
That's right. That's right. And remember, one was dead in the tank.
Yep.
One was dead in the tank.
Yep. And then they also have this cool thing where you can actually win a lobster, have a claw.
That's right.
That was so cool. And then guess what? They got rid of the claw machine. They got rid of everything. Yep. And then they had it foreclosed.
Yeah. Yeah, that was such a good episode. One more. I'll mention this last one. The one where I think the family lived in Florida, and it was called Flamingos.
Oh, I remember.
Not Flamingos, Flamingos. And remember, the poor husband that was 71 years old walks the filet out on that trolley with, it was a roof planks or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was called the Tornado Filet. And he, do you remember when Jeff Ramsay looks over and looks and sees him pushing it out? And he kind of holds his mouth because he don't have anything to say. And the server's standing up there knowing it's wrong. And she's standing there and she's like, well, we're getting ready for the tornado butter. And then he pours the butter down. And chops this filet up. The butter comes down, pipe thing, and there's a candle underneath it. And he was so proud of the. And remember, they put this nice little black jacket on him to get ready.
He said that the customers just love it.
Yeah. That was so great. That was so great. So, yeah, you guys, everyone, you guys have had to see Kitchen Nightmares. And also, check out Hell's Hotel Hell. That's another one, too. That's a really good one. If you haven't seen Hotel Hell, Gordon Ramsay goes to hotels across the United States and does the same thing that he does on Kitchen Nightmares. But Hotel Hell is absolutely hilarious. So
5 Minutes in Hell is also good, too.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of that one or anything.
No, I don't think I did.
So basically what he does is he goes in, he has 5 minutes to I think it's about 5 minutes or something like that. Or he has 24 hours to open up a new restaurant. Basically,
really?
What they do is they go in there, they strip the whole old restaurant down that the owners have and stuff like that because the decor does not match up to today's standard or anything. And they're helping these people out. And they also are trying to reprogram the way these chefs are operating and how the way they cook. And they have 24 hours of hell is what it's called.
Wow.
So 24 hours.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. He has so many.
Yeah.
There are so many. Okay, so my number two all time, and it was going to be my number one, but it's a dead even, Seinfeld. I mean, come on, Seinfeld. I think it was nine seasons of greatness. And we can sit here and go back and forth on which one was my favorite. I mean, the Close Talker, the Manhans, there's the Drink, you know what I mean? The Maestro, like all these episodes. I mean, these pretzels are making me thirsty, or, you know, just little lines that they would do throughout the years. This show I didn't think was going to make it, but it ended up being one of the best shows of all time. Right. I still watch Seinfeld, and once I finish up the season, we start it all back over again.
Right. But I was going to say this too, though. I was like, hey, Rossi, you know what I should name my kid? C. Because I should name my kid C. Remember when George was up saying, you know what? We should name the kid C.
Seven. That's right. Yeah,
seven.
And I remember the cousin. He found out the cousin's wife was going to name their baby Seven. And he goes, the woman is going into labor. He gets in a car with them and he's kept giving them other names. And they're like, no, George, his name is going to be Seven. But Seven, the baby's name is Seven. And also the Stop Short. Where Mr. Costanza was talking about, he felt that Kramer was hitting on his wife because when they were in the car, Kramer hit the brakes really fast, and you had the wife, Mr. Costanza's wife, in the car, and he actually hit her breast, and it was a move that he did, Stop Short, or Serenity Now, you know. There's so much. There's so many episodes that were. But I love Seinfeld, so you're number two, John.
Okay, so first off, I can't talk about Seinfeld without mentioning Ben, because Ben and I did an episode together of Seinfeld.
Okay.
Because if we had an idea of him and I do it, and matter of fact, people are actually listening to this episode, that episode now. As like, people just now picked up on it. But we did the Soup Kitchen Nazi episode.
Yes.
And the bad thing is, Ben was such a trooper. I had no idea he was Jewish.
Really?
Yeah, I had no idea he was Jewish at all. It was like a completely innocent thing. But Ben had a great sense of humor. He was one of a kind guy. He would give the shirt off, basically the jacket off his own skin if you wanted it.
Right.
Or his own shirt off his body. But that was how much of a nice guy he was. And, you know, I miss Ben. I miss doing shows with Ben and doing stuff like that. But I cannot mention that episode without mentioning Ben, or mentioning Seinfeld without us talking about Ben, because that episode is just special to me that I actually got to do that with him.
Absolutely.
But just the super, and I like how scared George and all them are. Just so.
That's right. Like, don't ruin it. And everyone will go in, you know, I want tomato soup. Move to the side. And I remember that. Don't question anything. Of course, George had to, but absolutely. Rest in peace to Ben. We dedicate Seinfeld Soup Nazi to you. Best episode ever. Right. Soup Nazi. Yes, absolutely. It really was. Okay, my number one.
Hold on. I got to do my number.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. But okay, I was struggling with this one. Okay. I had Sons of Anarchy, but then I'm like, I don't want to do Sopranos on motorcycles because and everything. I don't want to do that. Okay. So even though I like Sons of Anarchy, but I got to do Cobra Kai. I cannot do.
Yes.
I love Cobra Kai. I'm a matter of fact, I just got done reading Ralph Macchio's book not too long ago as well. I mean, I'm a huge nostalgic. I grew up on The Karate Kid. I ended up taking karate because of The Karate Kid when I was a kid as well. Cobra Kai hits you with the nostalgia. Not only does it hit you with the nostalgia, but they also create these character arcs that we never thought was even possible. Mm-hmm. Like Johnny, okay, on paper it may seem corny, right? Like you wouldn't even care about what happens, right? Well, get this. There was this fan video that said that Daniel Caruso was the villain. So guess what? They made that the center of the whole entire deal, where basically Daniel's living the good life. He has the car dealership. And then you have Johnny, the bully, who does maintenance work and odd jobs. He has a divorce, who has kids, he has a dysfunctional family, while Daniel's also being the one who has it all. And so what winds up happening is you have Johnny, who decides, hey, I want to go on ahead and open up Cobra Kai again. And then Daniel starts having PTSD moments of him joining Cobra Kai. And then you have Kreese that comes back in season one as well. I mean, this whole entire huge universe of Cobra Kai, new and old generations. The Kai is just phenomenal. I love Cobra Kai. I have all Cobra Kai merchandise and stuff like that too. I cannot praise this. I love Cobra Kai. This is how much I love it.
That's awesome. And I know you're not the only one that loves Cobra Kai. I haven't checked it out though. I love The Karate Kid, but I never got into the series. And not that I don't like it, it's just I just never got into it. So maybe I'll have to give it a watch, you know. But I have heard good things about it.
Yeah, you know, get this. I actually bought YouTube Red.
Okay.
Just watch Cobra Kai.
Really?
I watched the first two seasons of Cobra Kai before it was Netflix. Because it originally was on YouTube.
Okay.
So after I ended up binge watching the first two seasons, I canceled YouTube Red. And then after that, they basically, YouTube Red is like, look, we're canceling out that. So I was like, okay, where's Cobra Kai going to go? Well, Netflix winds up buying it from YouTube.
Okay.
And now that's where it landed.
Okay. All right. A little history about that. Okay. Now my number one will be King of Queens. King of Queens that's my favorite show. My husband and I love King of Queens. We love Carrie. We love Doug Heffernan, and it from the first pilot episode to, I think I started to really fall off the ninth season. I felt like they kind of lost their way, you know, like they're, you know, Carrie wants to move to Manhattan. They want to adopt kids. To me, it was just all over the place. They didn't know how to end it, but there are some classic episodes in season 9, not that many that I like, but season 1 to season 6 or 7. Yeah, season 6 or 7. It's really good. But those first 3 seasons, for real, were the best seasons ever. I mean, Doug is hilarious. He's a comedic genius. His timing is great. He literally makes you laugh. And he doesn't even have to say anything. He just, the faces that he'll make, the way that he's the sneaky husband. It's basically the Honeymooners, obviously, all back over again, you know, and they just did a great Absolutely. Leah Remini is probably one of my favorite comedic actresses on television. And she usually plays the same parts. I remember she was, I first saw her on Who's the Boss. She was Samantha's friend from the old neighborhood. And she would come and visit every once in a while. So that little girl that played that part is Carrie. And Carrie is just, you got to love Carrie. She keeps Doug in check. But some of the things that they do, basically cat and mouse is pretty much what it is. Cat and mouse. Doug's always doing something and she's going to find out. So it is just a great show. And I watch it almost every night still. Love King of Queens.
Same here. I love King of Queens. I remember when Doug caught his wife returning dresses to the store. And, you know, I love it. I just love King of Queens. I think that's great.
Right.
And I think I have a saying. If you go past 5 seasons, it becomes repetitive.
Yeah. I do agree with you. Yes. Absolutely.
That's what I thought about Big Bang Theory, too. I love the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's the same shit over and over again.
There's right. No My thing about it is how Deacon and Kelly's relationship was great. And then all of a sudden they're getting a divorce. And then all of a sudden you don't see Kelly anymore. Deacon, I love, but I love them as a couple. So that's when, you know, you kind of get lost. But I do love I think my favorite episode is the episode where he gets her a birthday gift and it was laser surgery, but she doesn't know that he got it at a place called a Value something, I Village or something, and it was one half off on the second eye or something like that. Anyways, she ends up waking up the next morning after surgery and she still can't see. So he's like, oh, okay, it's probably not ready yet. The second day she wakes up, still a little blurry. The third day she wakes up, she's like, Doug, I can't see anything. And it's her birthday weekend. So he has to throw her birthday party. She doesn't want to do it. But there's a scene where he has to put her lipstick on because she can't see. So he's putting her lipstick on. And then he goes into this really creepy, pretty, so pretty. I'm telling you.
I remember that episode.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's great. And you catch them laughing. You catch her trying not to laugh. You catch him trying not to laugh. And you gotta love their dad who was like their child. And then you have that character coming into play. The writing, everything was really good. So shout out to King of Queens. What a great show. Kevin James, Leah Remini, and rest in peace to what was his name? Not Ben Stiller's dad.
Ben Stiller's dad. Yeah.
Yes, Ben Stiller's dad, who was Doug or Costanza's dad on Seinfeld. George Costanza's dad on Seinfeld.
Right.
Yes.
But yeah, I really loved. I love that show hands down. And
right,
you know, Ben Stiller's dad. He was another one that just had that great comedic timing, though.
You know, absolutely.
He definitely got that from his dad.
Absolutely. Let's see. Just
Jerry
a second.
Jerry.
There you go. I wanted to make sure that we get his name. Jerry Stiller, King of Queens. Yes. Okay.
But yes. Yeah. So my number one is The Sopranos.
I knew it.
Like, I can actually go to bed listening to The Sopranos.
Right.
And my wife's like, she's watching someone get whacked while I'm sleeping. She's like, how the fuck do you do that? What? It's a family show. She goes, it's not a family show. Someone's getting killed. I said, well, doesn't every family want to kill each other? But I love this show, not just because of the mafia aspect, but because of the family aspect that he has to go through. He has to try and balance out his family life mixed with the mafia life. Not only that, but he also goes to see a psychiatrist as well.
Right.
And, you know, I love the opening of this because he goes into the psychiatry and Dr. Melfi's sitting there and they're both having this awkwardness between them and they're just staring at each other. And he goes, Melfi, huh? MD, huh? He goes, so what part of the moon are you from? Talking about Italy. So then he talks about how he had to go and pick up some money from a guy, someone that actually owed that owed him money, but he ended up saying that he's in the garbage business. But it's a great show. I mean, you have an all great cast. AJ Soprano, Anthony Jr. Soprano character. You have Meadow. You have Camilla. You have the perfect Italian family. Just about. Right. Well, not the perfect Italian family, but you know what I'm saying.
Look, right.
Perfect casting of Italians in this movie,
right.
In this TV series. I love it. The dark humor works. Ralphie comes in at season 3, which is the most shocking season that you can think of because of things that happen in that one. But Tony just having that dark humor too, especially with right. Uncle June and him.
Right.
Because so, Uncle June wants to kill him for making a joke because he went to Barbados. Okay. And he went, his Uncle June is seeing somebody. And he winds up finding out that he went down on her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He goes, under the boardwalk or something. He winds up singing to him. And he goes, so how was Barbados? He goes, I don't go down there enough. He goes, and Camilla goes, that's not what I heard. So it has like little small comedic stuff in there. It makes some violence and stuff. But I love it. I turn it on and go to sleep sometimes with it. But I love that show. And I also have the DVDs too.
I know you do. I already know that you do. I already know that you have special edition ones too. But this is a great show, John. This is awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed our picks.
Me too. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. If you haven't seen any of this stuff, tell us what you think. What are your top 5? Because we would like to know. If you're on Spotify, like I said, comment. We'll comment back to you. I promise you. You can also do the same thing on Good Pods as well. Email us at movielovestonight@gmail.com as well. Rossi, I do appreciate this. We always have a blast on here. I hope that you guys also enjoyed us just peeling back the curtain a little bit at the very end of it. I just wanted you guys to have a chance to actually get to know us a little bit better as well, if you're first-time listeners, or if you heard me talk about some of the stuff that I already said before, and it sounds like a broken record, just fast forward and go over to our top 5 list. It doesn't offend me either way, but anyway. But guys, tell us what you think. Give us a 5-star rating, and always until next time, guys. Have a great and safe night, and thank you again.
Well, hi guys.
See you guys. Have a great and safe night, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye-bye.